This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel, at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday, the overnight crude oil market 51 cents higher at $88.17, the Brent crude $1.84 higher at $101.61, the August gold contract $3.80 lower at $1,618, the U.S. dollar index 0.483 higher at 82.262. Closing prices from Tuesday on the Chicago Board of Trade: July wheat closed at 782 and a quarter, up 27 and three quarter. September wheat closed at 799 and a quarter, up 26 and three quarter. December wheat closed at 813 and three quarter, up 23. July corn on Tuesday closed at 718 and three quarter, up 26 and a quarter. September corn closed at 674, that was up 21 and three quarter. December corn closed at 674 and a half, up 18 and three quarter. July soybeans Tuesday closed at 1572 and a quarter, up 40. August beans closed at 1529 and a half, up 35 and a quarter. September beans closed at 1498, up 35 and a half. July soybean meal on Tuesday closed at 454.10, up 116. August meal closed at 447.20, up 119. September meal closed at 441.10, up 123. July soybean oil closed at 52.95, up 77. August oil closed at 53.14, up 78. September oil closed at 53.34, up 77. July oats on Tuesday closed at 348 and three quarter, up two and three quarter. September oats closed at 351, up three and three quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Harry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended sharply higher on Tuesday afternoon. Grain futures rose as the hot and dry weather conditions continued in the Corn Belt. The USDA's weekly crop progress report indicated the Illinois crop conditions continued to fall. The Illinois corn crop fell by 11% from last week to place only 26% in the good to excellent range, with the soybean crop down 7% to 28% in the good to excellent category. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 20 to 25 cents stronger at $7 to $7.14, while soybean bids were up 30 to 40 cents at $15.49 to $15.63. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 18 to 23 cents higher at $7.03 to $7.24, soybean bids up 35 to 45 cents at $15.39 to $15.45, and the wheat price is up 27 to 30 cents at $7.61 to $7.81. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 11 to 16 cents at 714 to 730. Soybeans advanced 32 to 35 cents with bids ranging 1540 to 1576. And wheat prices up 24 to 25 cents, ranging from 762 to 804. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 22 to 24 cents stronger at 727 to 728. Soybeans gained 40 to 43 cents, ranging from 1585 to 1587, and cash wheat bids up 26 to 27 cents at 760 to 769. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 24 to 29 cents stronger at 734 to 740. These same elevators increased their soybean prices by 33 to 39 cents with quotations at 1590 to 1591. Soft red winter wheat gained 26 cents at 787 to 788, and Milo ended 19 cents higher at 631 to 632. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn ranged from 634 up to 643, with new crop soybeans ranging from 1435 to 1448. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 645 to 662, new crop soybeans at 1436 to 1456, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn ranged from 647 up to 672, with new crop soybeans ranging from 1447 to 1467. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Tuesday, July hogs closed at 96.87, down 2 cents. August hogs closed at 94.87, down a dime. October hogs closed at 83.20, up a dime. August cattle on Tuesday closed at 119.47, up 20. October cattle 123.65, up 30. December cattle 127.42, up 57. August feeder cattle on Tuesday closed at 147.40, down 225. September feeders closed at 150.87, down 185. And October feeders closed at 152.70, down 165. Once again, we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Tuesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,650 head today, are trading $1.28 lower from 89 to 94.60 with a weighted average of 92.93. And in Illinois today, there was 14,660 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down $2.29 today from 91.56. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report, sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from $43 to $45, 4 to 5 weights from $44 to $48, and over 500 pounds from $47 to $51. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $66 to $68. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday, hogs are at 423,000 on the day. That's up 19,000 from last week, but down 1,000 from last year. Cattle are at 129,000 on the day. That's unchanged from last week, but it's up 5,000 from the same time last year. USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 196 fabricated loads and 81 trim loads. Choice carcasses fell $1.41 at $1.93.22, while selects were down a quarter at $1.77.36, leaving the choice select spread at $15.86. At the Shelbyville Livestock Auction, the opening report for Tuesday, they estimate 330 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady, while Holstein steers are steady to half a dollar lower. Choice steers from $1.19 to $1.22.75, while select and choice cattle are at $1.15 to $1.18.5. Choice Holsteins from $1.10.25 to $1.13.25, while choice heifers are trading from $1.20.25 to $1.23.50. Select and choice cattle are at $1.15 to $1.18. And at the weekly hay auction in Arthur, they had alfalfa small squares premium quality from 6.5 to 8.5 a bale, good quality small squares at 5.25 to $6, large squares 3x3s at 67.5 to $72.50. Alfalfa orchard grass small squares premium quality at 9 to 11.5 a bale, alfalfa mixed grass small squares good quality at 5.5 to $5.75, while the mixed grass small squares good quality were at 5 to $6.50 a bale, and the large rounds 4x5s were from $45 to $50. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Here are the spot dairy prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. For butter, 152 and three quarter unchanged. For block cheese, 164 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 167 and a half unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Tuesday, $16.69. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, $7.23. For August, $6.57. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, $7.15. For August, $6.53. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for July, $15.61. For August, $14.67. Wheat delivered to Scottville for July, $7.51. Call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888 for more information. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.23, corn at Scottville, $7.15, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.61, wheat at Scottville, $7.51. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning. Brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Greenyard Lawn Care by FS is currently applying steps 3 and 4 of its 6-part program. It's the time of year for summer fertilizer, grub prevention application, and to check evergreen trees and other plants for bagworms. Give Greenyard Professional Lawn Care by FS a call at 1-800-962-7331. For a free estimate and scouting of your plants, call Greenyard Lawn Care by FS. It's a service of M&M Service Company, the local solution for your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
The National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning. It is in effect until 10 o'clock Saturday night. For today, hot and humid, the high about 104 degrees with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear, the low will be in the mid-70s. And for tomorrow, Friday, hot and humid, the high about 104 degrees. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy and cooler. A slight chance of a shower Sunday and Monday. Low temperatures in the low 70s, highs in the mid-90s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady. Partly cloudy skies on this Thursday morning, right now 71 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Midway Trailer Sales at Exit 60 off I-55 carries a complete line of trailers. Fine enclosed cargo trailers, skid steer and dump trailers, livestock and horse trailers with living quarters or aluminum utility trailers. With over 300 in inventory, they have a trailer to suit your needs. Midway Trailer Sales has a full service department and now has an expanded parts department. Midway Trailer Sales at Exit 60 just off I-55. Stop by today.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. In our farm news today, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions, and we asked him about last Friday's crop report. He said the report right now is pretty much irrelevant due to the weather.
This report, you know, is still going to basically just show that the acres have increased, and in which case, you know, a lot of people relate that to a bearish scenario, but you know, if we've got 98 million acres or 95, 96, it doesn't matter if you burn it all up. And with the weather doing what it's doing right now, we're definitely seeing some significant yield loss. Even in the areas that have moisture, you get temperatures up around, you know, close to 100 degrees. Heat indices, you know, 105 to 110, 115 in some areas. And the fact that the nighttime temperatures in some areas are not decreasing below 80 degrees or 75 degrees, and you know, it's just stifling. Crop doesn't have a chance to rest at all. And yesterday, the condition ratings reflected that. We saw the biggest drop on record for the last week in June in the corn crop condition ratings. They dropped 8% in the good to excellent category. So that's down to 48% good to excellent in versus the 56% last week. And, we saw the increase in the poor to very poor of about 8% as well. So 22% of the crop poor to very poor. The fact that we're 25% silking at this point, seeing these temperatures as we go into pollination, it's not going to bode well unless things change very quickly. I still think, the U.S. as a whole has the potential of seeing a yield of 150 to 155 still. But that's if we get the rains. If this continues through another 5 to 10 to 15 days, you're probably looking at dropping that range another 10 bushel and probably going to see some significantly higher prices in order to ration this demand off. And a lot of people are still comparing this to 88, 83. Definitely kind of different markets that we're in these days. And, with the end user potentially panicking, the outside money flow getting involved, these swings could be very, very volatile. And could really cause for some fireworks at some point here. But if you get those people panicking, $8 corn is not out of the question. To see something above that wouldn't even be surprising if this weather continues the way it does, and you've got to ration that demand off, especially in the ethanol sector. But that's the only way we get through this. And keep in mind, 88, a lot of people want to compare it to that, but we had a lot more stocks as a percentage in the bin that year compared to what we've got this year. So things could definitely get crazy here down the road, but still got to keep an eye on that forecast. That forecast could change things. You get some steep breaks. That may still be a break to buy, though, in a market like this. And it's really no different with the soybeans. We saw good to excellent ratings around 45%. That was a decrease as well in the soybeans. 22%, just like the corn, in the poor to very poor category. So with 26% of the soybean crop blooming versus 12% last week, beans are going to hold on a little bit longer. I think that's why we probably haven't seen a significant percentage-wise rally in the soybeans versus the corn. But as we move forward here over the next couple of weeks, that could all change yet again.
You think it really will?
I think it will. If the weather changes, I still think we could see a crop on the soybeans between 39 and 44. Still, I still think we have that potential. But if we stay hot and dry and see these temperatures as you go into late July, early August, when we're really hitting that peak blooming time frame and this reproductive cycle for the soybeans, I think we're going to have some problems. And with the demand that we've seen in the meal market, we're going to have to ration demand in this stuff. And maybe we make our highs before the first of the year or even in the next 4 to 8 weeks on these markets. But if we get a little bit of rain, moderate temperatures, a little bit, bring those temps down a little bit, maybe you're looking at elevated prices from here all the way to January, and we don't get that kind of blow off top, but we still ration that demand off. That's what we're going to have to do if we decrease the supply this much.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. The United States Meat Export Federation is working on growing demand for American pork in Mexico. With the report, we join Joe Sheely from the United States Meat Export Federation.
Growing U.S. pork exports is not always a matter of displacing the competition, but rather growing overall demand. In Mexico, per capita pork consumption is only about half of that in the United States. So USMEF has launched a campaign to build overall pork demand in Mexico. USMEF Regional Director Chad Russell explains.
Mexico, on a per capita basis, does not consume large quantities of pork, and we think there's a potential upside to increase that per capita consumption through deploying a well-thought-out consumer campaign, which involves several elements, one of which would be a media campaign using television, radio, other media. And in addition, another important element would be the use of point-of-sale materials at key retail outlets. So in just recent weeks, we've reached some agreements with some key supermarket chains in Mexico, some of the largest ones. And they've agreed to deploy and use many of these point-of-sale materials at the meat cases, including the recipes. That was one of the key constraints. We found out in our research that consumers may be very familiar with how to prepare beef, but are not so familiar with how to prepare wholesome, delicious recipes using pork meat.
Russell also noted that these major supermarket chains will not only help promote pork, but will also collect important data to help evaluate the effectiveness of the campaign and develop further promotional strategies.
We have these memorandums of understanding negotiated with these retail partners, and part of that is that they need to report to us on a regular basis any changes in sales of pork through their outlets. So we're trying to evaluate the effectiveness of this part of the campaign. And also they've agreed to do some advertising on their own in terms of promoting pork to their customers through their normal advertising channels. We hope that through these memorandums of understanding, we're going to get the data needed to demonstrate the effectiveness of the campaign.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
Could winter weeds be used as a cover crop? That question is being researched at the Western Illinois University Agricultural Field Laboratory. Dr. Mark Bernards, assistant professor of agronomy at Western, says the study came about mostly by accident.
The big question is, are you going to get a uniform enough stand like you would with cover crops to do the same benefit? And with winter annual weeds, are you going to have any negative impacts that you wouldn't have with cover crops? And so that's where I think the questions need to be asked. In terms of convenience, it'd be a lot easier for a farmer if he just let the weeds come up and use it as a cover crop.
Dr. Bernards notes that many farmers wait until just before planting to kill those winter weeds. He says that should happen sooner.
Data from research that I've conducted shows you really want to control winter annual weeds at least 2 weeks before planting your crop. And as I've done some reading in the literature with cover crops, I think a similar trend holds true at least 2 weeks before you plant to control that cover crop to make sure it doesn't interfere with the new crop growth.
Western Illinois University is also experimenting with a winter cash crop.
Dr. Wynn Phippen of WIU is working on developing pennycress as a winter cash crop. Would work similar to winter wheat and then come back with the double crop beans following it. The benefit with pennycress is usually you can harvest it in late May, early June, as opposed to waiting until the end of June, early July to harvest the wheat.
Pennycress is a mustard plant with about 38% oil that can be used in industrial oils, biofuels, and also in jet fuel. Dr. John Goggin of the University of Queensland in Australia is an expert in the area of cattle heat stress and some actions he recommends to take during this extreme heat event. Do not move the animals, observe them for signs of heat stress, and consider wetting the animals or the ground. When wetting the animals, use large droplets, not a fine mist, and wet the animals to the hide to saturate the hair for maximum cooling effect. The water should run off the animals. Also, the soil in a feedlot absorbs and retains heat. Ground temperatures in a feedlot are typically 20 to 50 degrees warmer than the air temperatures. During an extreme heat event, the surface of a feedlot can exceed 150 degrees. Adding water to the ground can cool the surface as the water evaporates, but be careful not to create mud holes. Brian Frieden, director of the Risk Management Agency's Springfield Regional Office, reminds producers to report 2012 spring crop acreage to their insurance agent by the 15th. With the severe weather conditions, producers are also encouraged to contact their crop insurance agent if they have concerns about a crop loss. Finally, in our farm news today, country music star Leroy Van Dyke will appear Saturday night at the Nokomis Homecoming. His show will start about 8:30 on the South Stage. Mr. Van Dyke will be a special guest on WSMI AM and FM Friday morning about 8:35. We'll talk about his hits Walk On By, which was recently named the best country song of all time, and The Auctioneer. Leroy Van Dyke on WSMI, WSMI FM 106, Friday morning, about 8:30. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.